All right, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to take some time this evening to look at Romans, chapter 12, and verse number 1, our theme verse for this year. And with the Lord's help, we're beginning a short series tonight about the call that is incumbent upon our life as believers to live in sacrifice mode rather than just in survival mode or in living for self mode. And so I hope that over the next few weeks, this will be a challenge to each and every one of us about where we're at in our Christian life and especially in regards to our dedication to the Lord. In just a moment, as we prepare to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I want to ask you this question, and I want you to have this question in the back of your mind this evening as we work through this passage. And the question is this: Do you think that your discipleship and our discipleship as believers today mirrors the commitment of the first century followers of Christ that we read about in the book of Acts? Do we have the same type of commitment and level of discipleship? So that's the question I want you to have in your mind. And as you're thinking about that, you may discover that there are perhaps some areas where you're dissatisfied with your level of sacrifice, where you sense that God is calling you to a greater obedience to Him, a greater willingness to give of yourself and be committed to the Lord. And so let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. The scripture says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we see here in Romans chapter 12, there's a great transition thought in these first couple of verses of this chapter, wherein the Apostle Paul is moving from the first 11 chapters, which deal with the great doctrines of justification by faith and sanctification through the Spirit. And now he's coming to the practicality of the Christian life. What does it look like for a believer to live in the power of God? What is it that we should expect? And he starts off here with this challenge in verse number 1, and it's no mistake, because everything after this, from chapter 12 to the end of the book, is going to deal with what it looks like to live a sacrificial Christian life, to be the kind of follower of Jesus Christ who is giving of yourself in His service. And so I'd like to take just a few moments tonight to think about this verse and to really meditate on the words of this verse and try to make some application to our lives as an overview for the rest of this series and some of the things that we'll deal with in the next several weeks. And as we look at verse number 1, I want to ask first of all this question: who is it that is expected to offer this living sacrifice, which is spoken about in verse number 1? And so if you look in your Bibles there, what is the hint that we have that tells us who this command is addressed to? What is the word that we're looking for? We're brethren, all right? And when he's speaking to brethren, he's speaking to brethren in the sense of them being brethren in Christ. And so understand that here in Romans chapter 12, the human author is the Apostle Paul, by writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And yet the Apostle Paul considers these people that he's writing to on equal footing with him. He addresses them as brethren. And, you know, that's a wonderful truth just for a moment to contemplate, is that here in this auditorium, all of us who are true believers in Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of the same spiritual family. And in a very real sense, we're on the same spiritual footing. We find ourselves in need of the same grace. We find ourselves experiencing many of the same trials. In fact, we're referred to in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 17 as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. As brothers and sisters in Christ, think about this. We have a mutual inheritance which we share together. And remarkably, we share that inheritance with the Son of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And we are all participants of this inheritance which God has given to us. So he's addressing this command to brethren. And what this reminds me of and what it indicates to me is that the commands that are contained here are appropriate and expected for every believer, every child of God. This command is not for some elite class of Christians. In fact, if you study your Bible, you'll find that the Bible does not speak about there being an elite class of Christians. The Bible speaks about people who are washed in the blood of Christ, who are redeemed by Christ's sacrifice. It speaks about people who are unworthy, who've been made worthy in Christ. And the truth is that every single person in this room is called to be a living sacrifice. Now, this is an important thought because so often we have this idea that these sorts of commands are really addressed to the people, to the Christians who are super committed, the Christians who are really involved. And then there's the average Christian, the normal Christian. And, you know, it's not really important for the normal Christian to live in this sacrificial kind of a mode. But what I'm proposing to you tonight is that it's God's will for every true believer to live in a sacrificial way, to be offering our body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Do you know tonight, for instance, that there is no age restriction or limit on this command? You could be here tonight as a young person and you say, well, I know I'm saved, but, you know, I'm not old enough to live as a living sacrifice. I'm still under the authority of my parents. No, I'm telling you that if you're saved, there's no age restriction on this. You're not too young to live in sacrifice mode. You're not too old to live this way. You're not in some stage of life where you say, well, I'm exempt from this command. No, the truth is that this command is accurately directed towards every true believer. There is also no limitation in this command to those who have certain spiritual gifts or a certain spiritual reputation or a certain position of spiritual leadership, as if this command is only directed to people, for instance, who are called to preach, or people who have a certain position in the church and they need to be living in this sacrificial way. But everybody else needs to can get away without living in this way. No, the command is directed towards every believer that all of us ought to be giving our body as a living sacrifice. So often there's a tendency for us to think that there's levels of Christianity and that only some are called to live a life of sacrifice for the Lord. Say, people who are called to be missionaries, they need to sacrifice for the Lord. Well, yes. And those of us who are holding the ropes back here ought to be living as living sacrifices for the Lord. So we see tonight, who should offer this sacrifice? Well, every true believer should be involved in offering this living sacrifice. So that means tonight, if you're here this evening and you know that you're saved, you're a child of God, I'm speaking to you this evening. And I hope that you'll pay particular attention this evening and in the rest of this series, because what we'll be speaking about is God's design, the way that God wants you to be living your life. So second of all, we ask the question in this passage, if this is for all believers, what then is this sacrifice which is spoken of? Now, it's strong language which is being used in verse 1. The Apostle Paul uses the word beseech. I beg you, I'm pleading with you, I'm imploring you. The idea is that he is trying to get their attention and help them to listen to what he's saying. by the mercies of God, we'll come back to that phrase in just a moment, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, what is this sacrifice that is spoken of in verse 1? Well, you can notice that this is a sacrifice which involves our bodies. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And when we speak about our bodies and the Bible writer here speaking about our bodies, he's not just referring to our skin and bones or our body parts, although that certainly is a part of it. For instance, when he speaks about giving our body as a living sacrifice or presenting our body as a living sacrifice, we could surmise that he's speaking about our eyes. And so we ought to be careful about our eyes and how we use them. For instance, what we look at and what we allow to catch our eyes. And we'll talk more in detail about some of these things in future messages. But I just want to point out to you that God is very much concerned about our eyes. Not just our eyes. God is concerned about our ears. Our ears are part of our body, and He wants us to be careful what it is that we're tuning our ears into, what it is that we're listening to and paying attention to, what it is that we're inclining our ears to hear, because the things that you listen to have a profound effect on who you are on the inside. He's speaking about our mouth. And the Bible has a lot to say about our mouth and how our mouth is able to be offered as a living sacrifice to the Lord. The words that we use, the things that we talk about, the topics that we entertain in our conversations with others, the way that we speak to others about Christ and about the hope that we have, all of these things involve our mouth. Our body, part of our body is our feet. Where we go. How we go. What are the patterns of our walk? The Bible has a lot to say about our spiritual walk. Our physical feet take us places, and that is indicative of our spiritual life. And certainly we should be careful about our feet. Our hands. What do we do with our hands? And this would encompass our work, the things that we do for an occupation and the way that we fill our time doing different tasks. Our hands are involved in that. And so we could go on and on and on tonight talking about our body and pointing out the fact that God wants the parts of our body to be offered to Him, to be given to Him as a living sacrifice. Now, I said this is not just our skin and bones and the parts of our body, because the word that is used here for our bodies has the idea of our entire being. It's us in our entirety. And we know, for instance, tonight that we are more than just a physical body. A physical body is a part of us, but there's more to us than just our physical frame. So when God says He wants us to offer our bodies or present our bodies as a living sacrifice, He's referring to our entire being put on the altar of sacrifice. Without reservation, with holding nothing back from the Lord, God wants us to place our body, our being, upon the altar and say, Lord, here's my life. Use it as you will. Now, in order to surrender our body, you and I find that we will need to surrender our thoughts and our desires also. And I want you to hold your place here in Romans 12 and turn back with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And again, we'll develop this more fully in a future message, but it's important for us to touch on these things tonight to give a broad overview of what it means to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45. Jesus says something very interesting here. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And what Jesus is teaching is a very important principle in Luke 6:45, is that what you see on the outside of a person is indicating what is on the inside of that person. You see the outside, that's the fruit, but that is indicating the inside, which you can't see, which is the root. But see, when you understand something about this principle, then, and really, I want you to apply this more to yourself than to someone else right now. And I want you to think about the fact that if you want the outside, the actions of your body to reflect the glory of the Lord, to be given as a living sacrifice, then you're going to have to deal with that first on the thought, intent, and motivation level. You're going to have to deal with the things that go through your mind. And again, this is a huge and important topic, which we'll address in a future message. But I want to point out to you that if we're going to be a living sacrifice, in fact, directly in the context of our text tonight, we're told that in order to be a living sacrifice, we're going to have our minds transformed. We're going to have our minds renewed. This is a key area that we'll have to deal with. So when he's speaking about the sacrifice, what this is it involves our being. It involves us putting our life on the altar, saying to God, here is my life. Do with it as you please. But you go back to Romans chapter 12 and let's consider another aspect of this sacrifice, what it is. Not only is it a sacrifice of our being, of our bodies, but I want you to see that it is a sacrifice which is intended to be a living sacrifice. And the idea of a living sacrifice means that we are alive while we're offering this sacrifice. This sacrifice is not going to involve the loss of our physical life, but rather it's going to involve the surrender of our physical life. It's going to involve us giving over the rights of that we believe we have to dictate our own life, to do the things that we want. And instead saying, Lord, I'm surrendering my right to do that. And I'm going to give that over to you. And I want you to be in charge. I want you to call the shots. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. Now, God wants us, while we are alive, during the time of our physical existence on this earth, to be living for Him. Many people have this idea, life here is for me, and eternity is for the Lord. But the truth is that God wants you to live for Him right now. He wants you to give yourself completely and fully to Him. And what he's referring to as a living sacrifice is a continuing or a daily sacrifice. This is set in opposition to the type of sacrifice which ends a person's physical life. Or, for instance, an animal sacrifice that would be offered on the altar. And, of course, then that animal's life was over. It was finished. It was no longer of any value to the owner. But in this case, we are going to offer our life to the Lord, and then the moments of our days, the decisions that we make, the output of our energy and our strength is going to be dedicated to the service of the Lord. And over, day after day, God's will is for us to take up our cross and follow Him. Day after day, God's design and God's desire is for us to lay down our life and to, this is what the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Now, he wasn't speaking about physical death, obviously. You can't repeatedly die every single day in a physical sense. He's obviously speaking about the fact that he is dying to his selfish desires. He's dying to his ambitions and his plans. And every day, he was in the habit of saying, Lord, my life is not mine, but yours. What would you have me do with my life today? Because it belongs to you. So this sacrifice is a living sacrifice. Now, I made reference to this in the message on Sunday, that I believe that it's considerably more difficult to be a living sacrifice over the long term than it is to be a dead sacrifice in a momentary decision. And I'm not at all trying to diminish the commitment, for instance, of people who became martyrs, who gave their life in standing for the truth of God. I'm not trying to diminish what they have done, but I am trying to point out to you that it is significant when a person is faithful day after day after day, living as a sacrifice for the Lord. Instead of living for their own selfishness and their own ambitions, they're committed to living for Him, and they give their life over to the Lord. Now, this word sacrifice is very interesting because obviously it brings to mind a picture. And for the Jewish people, it would bring to mind the picture of an animal whose life had been taken, and then that animal was laid upon the altar where there was a fire that had been kindled, and that sacrifice would be offered. It would be consumed. It would be used up. And that's the word sacrifice really speaks of a total consumption or of a total surrender, so that one's rights are no longer retained, but they are given over to the one that is being worshipped. The idea is that there is nothing that is held back from the Lord. Nothing that is said to Him, "Now, Lord, you know, you can have Sundays and Wednesdays, but, you know, Thursday evening is mine. Or Tuesday morning is mine. Or Saturday afternoon is mine. I got to have a little bit of time for me, you know." You know about that philosophy, don't you? You need to have some me time. You need to have some pampering time. You need to have some time to refresh. Now, I'm not diminishing the need to rest. All right. But understand me. We live in a soft age. We live in a time where people think they've been told that they have to have it easy in order to survive. And the truth is, God sometimes calls us to sacrifice. He sometimes calls us to give of ourselves day after day. And the truth is, if you're living in this way as a living sacrifice, you'll recognize the fact that your life belongs to God 24/7, 365. There's not a day of the year that doesn't belong to Him. There's not an hour of the day that doesn't belong to Him. There's not a day of the week that isn't His. You ought to be living as a living sacrifice. So what it means is to give of ourselves wholly and completely to the Lord. And remember, we pointed out that this is expected, this is commanded of every true believer. As a believer, there's no area of my life where I ought to say, "Well, that's mine. I'm keeping that for myself. I can do what I want to do." That's the wrong attitude for a believer. Because everything should be submitted to Him. "Lord, what do You want? Lord, how do You want me to live? How do You want me to handle this situation?" All right, so we see who should offer this sacrifice, what this sacrifice is. Now, third of all, notice how this sacrifice should be offered. And there's some words which guide this sacrifice and how it ought to be given towards the end of the verse. Notice, first of all, that this sacrifice should be holy. Now, the word holy is very important in the Bible. It's a word which has gone out of style in our day. Many people want to speak about the primary attribute of God being that of love. And certainly He is love, and He shows love, and He demonstrates His love. There's no doubt about the love of God. But in the Scriptures, the primary attribute of God, which is highlighted, is His holiness. And even in His love is holy. And that word holy means to be set apart. It means to be other than. And the idea is that God is different than us. He's set apart from us. His character is different than ours. His nature, His attributes are different than ours. So understand that when we offer a sacrifice to the Lord, when we offer our body as a living sacrifice, it should be a holy sacrifice. It means that we are taking our life, our entire being, and we are saying, Lord, this is set aside for your purpose. This belongs to you and not to me. And this is important because I believe it's very often that our sacrifices, so-called, that we give for the Lord are self-willed. They're offered for our own pleasure or satisfaction or for gaining some kind of notoriety or position among others. But this is very far from what God is commanding. God is commanding us to give a holy sacrifice. And this word holy in reference to us, because there are times that the word holiness is applied to us as believers. We know that it's a primary attribute of God. So in relation to us, holiness, first of all, is a separation from sin and uncleanness. It is a burning desire within us to be pure before God, to be clean before God, to be expunged from sin. And we all realize what a difficult struggle this is and how this is a part of the mechanics of the Christian life, because it does seem like the closer you get to the Lord, the more you become aware of your failings, the more you become aware of the things that aren't quite right. And oh, how our heart ought to burn within us to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we should have a desire to put sin far from us, to not seek after sin. It's absolute hypocrisy to claim that we are living as a sacrifice for the Lord when we are selfishly indulging sin in our lives. Holiness is separation from sin and uncleanness. But then, in a positive sense, holiness is also a separation unto service and dedication for the Lord. It is the realization, the recognition, the declaration that my life is not my own, that God has a plan and a purpose for me, and my life isn't given to me just to do whatever I want to do, just to follow the dreams that I have or the ambitions that I have, but rather my life is given to me so that I can return it to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want from me? And practically speaking, this means that I'm going to look for ways, if my life is a living sacrifice, I'm going to look for ways to get involved in serving the Lord, in dedicating my strength and my energy, my abilities, my resources to the service of the Lord, rather than consuming those things for myself. One of the great issues that we struggle with in our culture as Americans is this consumerism, this idea that we're here to enjoy, we're here to partake, we're here to get for ourselves. And many people have this attitude, even pertaining to church. They want to come to a church and say, what's in it for me? What kind of programs do you have? What kind of benefits could I expect to receive? What kind of a welcome would I get? How would you minister to me in different situations of my life? Now, we all need to receive ministry. We understand that. But if at some point there's not a change to where, instead of wondering what somebody's going to do for me, I start saying, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for others? Then we find that even our church experience, the fellowship that we're supposed to have around the Lord, can become very selfish. It can become very inward turned. And when this happens, let's say, in a church congregation across the whole church body, what can happen is that we become so content with just the people who are here and we get along well and we enjoy one another's company and we spend time together and we enjoy that so much that we forget the mission that God has put us here for. And it can happen where a church ought to be a living sacrifice. I'll prove that to you in just a moment. A church ought to be a living sacrifice, but an entire church could get to the place where instead of living in sacrifice mode, we're just trying to enjoy what we have. And that is outside of God's plan. Now, I said I would prove to you that this is in reference to a church. I want you to notice in verse number one that he uses the pronoun that ye present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice. Now, that pronoun ye speaks of each individual, and yet it has a component of plurality. So the nearest and it's not really an English word, but it's one that we use around here is use. All use get your coats on the way out. And you understand that when I use, I'm referring to each of you individually, but all of you corporately. And that's exactly how this word is being used. So there is an individual responsibility for each of us to present our body as a living sacrifice. But he is obviously speaking in plurality, which is why he uses the plural form of the noun bodies. He's speaking to a congregation in the city of Rome, and he's saying to them as a church, you ought to be presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is what ought to be taking place in a New Testament church, is that every member ought to be giving of themselves and saying, God, I want to serve you with my life. I want to give every part of myself to you. Take my life and use it. And when that happens in a congregation, an entire congregation has that attitude and that aspiration, God blesses that greatly. But we can easily slip into consumerism. Boy, I enjoy this. Oh, this is so nice. I just want to enjoy this time. I want to enjoy these brethren. And we forget that there's more to it than just enjoyment. There's a sacrifice that's involved. So it should be a holy sacrifice, which is separation from sin and uncleanness and separation unto service and dedication. Second of all, it should be not only a holy sacrifice, but it should be an acceptable sacrifice. And you'll notice that the sacrifice ought to be acceptable unto God. In other words, our sacrifice ought to be pleasing to the Lord. Do you remember, for instance, any illustrations in the Bible where someone brought a sacrifice to the Lord and the Lord rejected the sacrifice because it was not acceptable to him? You might remember early on in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, a young man named Cain brought a sacrifice, and it was a significant sacrifice. It was something that he had given from his own bounty, from that which he had labored to bring forth, and he brought it to God. We might even say in sincerity he offered it to God. But it was not the sacrifice that God had commanded or requested, and therefore it was rejected. Now, again, we have this mentality today that, oh, God will accept whatever I give him. As long as he sees that I'm sincere, he'll take it. Not so. Not so. Truly, God is very specific about the sacrifices which he wants to receive. It's not up to us to determine what we are going to give to God. Rather, we come to him with the sacrifice which is acceptable unto him. What is it that God wants? Oh, it does no good for you to offer a sacrifice to him when he wants something altogether different. For instance, if he's calling you to go to the mission field to preach the gospel, he doesn't want from you a larger faith promise commitment. That's not a good substitute to say to him, I don't really want to go right now, Lord, so I think right now instead I'll just give more money so someone else can go. That's not the same. If God is calling you to go, then that's the sacrifice he's asking for. If God is asking you to do this, then this is not going to be an acceptable substitute. And don't you know how God is able to put his finger on something very specific in our lives? Have you ever sensed that when God put his finger on something and said to you, I want that? And maybe there was some wrestling that went on in your heart. Lord, I don't want you to have that. I want to have that. I don't want to surrender that to you. How about if you take this? No, that's not what I want. I want that. So when God puts his finger on something, and I point out to you again tonight that it may be different for each and every one of us what it is that God puts his finger on. But when he puts his finger on something, no substitutions allowed. He wants what he wants. And if the sacrifice that we're going to give is to be acceptable, then it's going to have to be the sacrifice that he wants. I might also point out to you that, praise God, we can be acceptable because we are accepted in the Beloved, according to Ephesians chapter 1. If you're in Christ, then you're accepted by God because of Christ. And understand that we come not with our own righteousness or our own achievement, but we come knowing that we're accepted in Christ. And we come asking, Lord, what is it that you want? My wife has a saying that she uses with our kids. Because you know how kids are. When it's time to do chores or a task, a kid will say, I want to do that. No, that's not what's needed right now. Did you ever experience that as a kid? When mom said, clean the bathroom, you thought, I've got an art project I need to do for school. I need to go do this other thing right now. No, I told you to clean the bathroom. And it's amazing how when a parent tells a child to do something, they could find almost anything else to do that would be so much more fun. But is anything going to be acceptable when there was a specific command given? So my wife likes to say, you help where you are needed, not just where you want to help. You see, it's not always up to us to decide, well, this is where I would like to help. This is the area where I would like to contribute. Sometimes there's something that is needed that God says, this is the area that you need to be involved. This is what I'm asking of you. And in order to be an acceptable sacrifice, we need to make sure that it is in compliance with what God is asking of us. So it should be a holy sacrifice. It should be an acceptable sacrifice. Third of all, it should be a presented sacrifice. He uses the verb present, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that idea of presenting means to place yourself at the disposal of the Lord. It means, here you go, Lord, take it and use it. Here's my body. Here's my life. Use it for your glory. Now, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, this means that we are willingly offering ourselves in a spirit of worship. We are giving ourselves over to the Lord. And what I mean by it being a presented sacrifice is this. It does no good to talk about sacrificial living if you never actually get around to doing it. In fact, as Christians, we are nearly professionals at talking about things that we have no intention of doing. We often do this in regards to the gospel. We can have classes and seminars and messages and get-togethers and training about sharing the gospel. But do we actually share the gospel? Those are two different things, aren't they? It's very different to talk in here with other people who believe the gospel about how wonderful it is to share the gospel and how we should go about doing that. It's entirely a different thing to go out there and look people in the eyeballs and share the gospel with them. So understand that simply talking about living as a sacrifice does not mean that you're doing it. You actually need to present yourself day in and day out as a sacrifice to the Lord. So this sacrifice should be offered in a holy and acceptable manner, and it should be presented to the Lord. The fourth question we want to ask tonight and then answer quickly is this one. Why should this sacrifice be offered? What gives God the right to ask, yea, to command us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? Why is he doing this? Why is he compelling us in this way? Well, you'll notice right away in verse 1 that the basis of this is the mercies of God. And when it speaks about the mercies of God, understand tonight that you have experienced the mercies of God repeatedly. You have lived in the light of his mercies. But it means more than that. It means more than just the nice things that God has done for us. This idea of God's mercies towards us means that God is moved with compassion towards us. When God looks at us, he is moved with compassion. He's stirred up with love and care for us. And in light of the fact that he loves us in this way, we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Do you understand that God will never ask something of you that in the end will be a terrible thing? Now, listen, he may ask you for some hard things, but he will always take those hard things that you give and he will bless them. The Bible is replete with examples of this. You ought to live in such a way, in a sacrificial way, because you know God's intention towards you. You know, one of the reasons that many people struggle with surrendering themselves, with being a living sacrifice, is because they're terrified that if they actually surrender themselves to God, God is going to hurt them. God is going to mess up their life. God is going to take away all the things that they've desired, and he's going to give them a miserable existence. And this is how God is going to treat them. And this is exactly the opposite of God's character. This is not how God behaves towards his children. So in light of the mercies of God, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. In other words, you can trust him with your life. He's a merciful God. But a second reason that this sacrifice should be offered is because it is a reasonable service. It is your reasonable service. In other words, there is an obligation that we have to give of ourselves as a living sacrifice. In light of what God has done for us, in light of his kindness towards us, and in light of the redemption that we've experienced, in light of the fact that we are created beings who were made by his hand, then understand tonight that it's the least that you could do to offer your life as a living sacrifice to him. He deserves that. You ought to willingly give yourself to him because he deserves this. Do you know tonight that it is no big thing for me to present my body as a living sacrifice to God because of all that he has already done for me? In fact, literally everything that I have that I would lay down on the line for him and sacrifice for him was given to me by him in the first place. Everything. Every single thing that I could ever give to him, all it is me giving back something that he gave to me in the first place. And we ought to have that sense of obligation that this is a reasonable service. Notice real quickly in Romans 11:36, which is, you know, this is the hinge upon which this section of the book of Romans turns. At the end of chapter 11, it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." This is speaking about Jesus. Now, think about those prepositions of him. What does that mean? Well, it means he's the creator. He's the originator. He's the designer. He is the author of our faith. We are of him. And through him, meaning through him, we have everything that we enjoy, all of the life that we enjoy, the spiritual blessings that we enjoy, the relationships that we have. Everything is through him and to him. And that means it all is intended to be directed back to him for his glory, for his praise, for his honor. Now, when you think about the phrases there in Romans 11:36, I want to present to you this idea that ultimately the thing that prevents us from living in a sacrificial way as Christians is an insufficient view of Christ. It's not just a hesitation to sacrifice for the Lord. It's a wrong understanding of Christ. It's an insufficient view of his majesty and his glory and the debt of gratitude that we owe to him because of all that he's given to us. In other words, we are selfish because we have the wrong perspective of Jesus. Now, this is the way that it works. Our belief leads us to worship, and our worship leads us to action. And one of the reasons that we do not act in sacrificial ways is because truly we are not worshipers. We're not willing to worship God. See, we think of worship as singing a song and feeling good and maybe a time of prayer where we all get on our knees and we worship God together and we have an emotional experience. But worship is so much more than that. Worship ought to involve not just the things that we say, but the things that we do. The reason we don't do those things is because we're not worshiping God as we ought to. And ultimately, the reason we're not worshiping God as we ought to is because somewhere back here, there's a problem with our belief. There's a problem with what we have believed to be so. So tonight, if we were to say that there is a problem in this area of us being a living sacrifice, and if we try to diagnose that problem and back it out, what we'll find is that at the root of this problem is a faith problem. It is a belief problem. It is a misplaced confidence. We are confident in the wrong thing and not confident in the right thing. And ultimately, the answer to understanding this and coming to the right place of surrender is always going to be the person of Christ. It's going to be a more complete understanding of who Christ is and a more complete surrender to the person of Christ. And just a reminder tonight that of him and through him and to him are all things. The reason you ought to be a living sacrifice is because of who he is. And that's enough. May God help us to be the kind of sacrifice that we ought to be.